We'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, and we're going to be covering several chapters today, but mainly we are going to talk about Proverbs chapter 8. So if you want to be everywhere because you need to make up some reading because you might have forgotten or fallen behind, Proverbs 10, which was our scripture reading today, is the proverb for today. So if you are up to date going into church today, you have finished your Proverbs reading for today, so good work. But we are going to jump into our second week on Proverbs about gaining wisdom. We talked about last week how Solomon has arranged this book in order to give the instruction that is needed for one person to obtain wisdom and to live a wise life, one that is in accordance to the plan that God has laid out for his creation. And we talked about how in order to have wisdom, you had to know what is right and wrong, you have to understand when and how it is right and wrong, and then you have to choose to do what is right in order for you to proclaim that you have found wisdom. And that all starts with this fear of God. Knowing that God is the one who is in control of the universe, not that he just earned his way there, but in fact he started the universe, and therefore he gets to lay out the rules. And we talk about how that's been a problem ever since the beginning, right? Since the Garden of Eden, we've been messing that up. And we've been choosing to go down our own path, and that is why in Proverbs 3, the famous proverb, to not lean on your own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your path straight. You might have noticed during the scripture reading today that Proverbs 10 is significantly different than the first nine chapters of Proverbs. The reason being, the first nine chapters of Proverbs is set up to be more like a discourse, a conversation, or maybe actually like a lesson that has been written out in form for us to read, also for purpose of reference. But the first nine chapters of Proverbs is really Solomon talking to his sons, and to young men, and to everyone, pleading with them to choose to listen to wisdom. As the main function in chapters 1 through 9 is a constant plea from this father figure to those who are under his tutelage to choose to listen to wisdom, to value it like it is the treasure that he proclaims it to be. That in the first nine chapters of Proverbs, there is a lot less of the what we would typically think of as Proverbs, the less of the short sayings or the sayings that are coupled with another saying, but more so a drastic plea that when you read the rest of Proverbs, that you choose the path of wisdom. That is why chapters 1 through 9 is different than the remaining of Proverbs, because the rest of Proverbs is demonstrating how in every normal day of life, you have been called to by wisdom and by foolishness. And the first nine chapters is a father pleading that his kids would just listen to wisdom. Why? To avoid heartache, to avoid pain, to choose the path of life and instead of choosing the path of death. And so as we get into these next several Proverbs, what we read or should have been reading, in case you haven't, you can certainly catch up while I am up here. We read Proverbs 4 through 9 this week. And it kind of gets into a mess and then comes out, and then it's sometimes confusing for us because we weren't expecting these chapters to be like a instruction, and we were expecting more like the Proverbs that we read today in Proverbs 10. And so I just want to help us understand, one, as we always say, every time that there's a verse or a chapter number that just is inconvenient, those numbers were not inspired. They were not written in there by Solomon. So the fact that Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 5 are separate is a means of reference for us. So when I say, look at Proverbs such and such, you know how to find it. That's not how it was originally written. And so although Proverbs 4 through 9 have five chapters in our current understanding, it is all written together as part of Proverbs 1 through 9 as a discourse, as a please will you just choose to listen to wisdom, as a section from Solomon writing. And then he starts giving the daily type of wisdom that his sons need to choose to listen to wisdom instead of foolishness in the rest of Proverbs, which is a long section of Proverbs. So in Proverbs chapter 4, you see another plea, and as a common thing in these chapters, it says, listen, my sons, to a father's discipline and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I'm giving you good instruction, and don't abandon my teaching. And you see Solomon pleading again and again, and we won't cover all of those, but that if you read through the first nine chapters, you see Solomon pleading with the listeners to choose wisdom, treat her like a relative, cherish her, embrace her. She will honor you, and you will have a crown of beauty placed on your head. And then in Proverbs 4, verse 10, this is where these 4 through 9 get more specific in laying out the picture that he has already been trying to paint for us in the first three Proverbs and the rest of Proverbs 4 through 9. It says, listen, my son, accept my words, and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. Then, in contrast, don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel it. Turn away from it. Pass it by. For they can't sleep unless they have done what is evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. See, you see in Proverbs a lot this word of path or way. Solomon is painting for his listeners a picture that says, look, you've got two roads in your life that you can choose to take. And this is every situation you come across, you have two choices. One, you can take the path of wisdom. And that's the path I'm going to try and lead you on. It is a straight path, which doesn't actually mean that it's easy or less complicated than the other. But it is the path that gets you to where you're trying to go. Right? We understand that as we travel, there are sometimes roads that will get you to a place, and yet it was not the most convenient, nor the wisest, or the most straight way to get there. But Solomon is saying, I am laying for you a path out of wisdom, a wise path that will lead to life, he says. You know, the statement he says that I'm teaching you about this wisdom and you're going to live for many years is not really a promise that, like, if you choose what is wise, you're going to live to be 107. That is not what Solomon is saying. But he is saying that the path that you walk dictates where you go. That this path of wisdom leads to life. And then in contrast, as he begins in 14, is that the path of the wicked, the path of foolishness, only leads to death and destruction and not being aware of what is causing your problems. Says they do not know what they stumble on. Solomon is saying, look, here's the deal, kids. You got a path that I'm going to try and lay out for you that leads you to life. It's the path of wisdom. And so we must learn to love wisdom instead of loving what our hearts already love, which is foolishness, which is to do what looks right to us, what smells good to us, what feels good to us, and is just the path of wickedness away from the path of wisdom. This is the fault that Adam and Eve fell into. They knew that God's path was to let them live in the Garden of Eden and to not eat from this one tree, right? Seems really easy. But then someone comes along and says, like, oh, yeah, no, God's just, you know, doesn't want you to become like him, and then he's got to have a fight with you about what's right and wrong. If you really look at this tree, it actually looks pretty good. And if you eat it, you'll become wise, is actually what Satan said. The foolish decision to listen to the snake over the one who created the snake has led us down this path of misery. And by default, all humans are prepared to follow the path of wickedness till the day they die. And obviously the frustration for Solomon is that he had been granted this great wisdom from God to understand how life works, to understand that the choices you make influences the outcome of what is going on in your life. That although the path of wisdom isn't always easy, and sometimes we don't even understand why wisdom is telling us to do something, it leads to life. You know, we see these proverbs all the time, and we see like, oh, it will go well with you. You'll have, you know, great abundance, and you'll be long time alive. And we get so narrowly focused that we think that Solomon is talking about the days we get to spend on earth in this painful, broken existence. Meanwhile, Solomon is saying, no, the path of wisdom leads to God. And the path of wisdom that leads to God will lead to eternal life. But the path of foolishness that our hearts seem so bent on taking lead us to our own destruction. So then you see him plea again, verse 20. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to one's body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left, and keep your feet away from evil. Stay on the path of wisdom. If you want to experience what God's plan for you has been since he created people, which is to live with him, stay on the path of wisdom. It is the straight path to God. It is the only path that you can take and not find death and destruction at the end of it. So he sets out this picture, and then what happens? Chapter 5. He then tells like this like parable type of a story. He says, again, starts off with a plea. Please listen to me. You can tell that Solomon is trying to hammer in to his readers the importance of listening to wisdom. He says, listen, I think I skipped the verse. Here we go. Pay attention to my wisdom and to my understanding, that you may maintain discretion and your lips safeguard from knowledge. Though the lips of the forbidden woman, and this is a reoccurring picture that Solomon will use, is that he uses this picture of a woman for wisdom and for foolishness. We'll get there a little bit later. But although the words of the forbidden woman drip with honey and they're smoother than oil, in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood and as sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps head straight for Sheol. They go straight to death. The path of foolishness is also a straight path, but it's a path straight to death. She does not consider the path of life. She doesn't know that her ways are unstable. So listen to me. Don't turn away. Stay away from her. Otherwise, you will have these major issues in your life, and you can continue to go through this. And Proverbs 5, we often read and say, like, okay, this is all about a Proverbs of being content in your own marriage and not finding satisfaction outside of your marriage with another person. And for sure, that is included in what Solomon is teaching here. But remember that he is setting out this picture of you've got two paths and you've got two people pleading for your affections. Are you going to choose Lady Wisdom, or are you going to choose Lady Foolishness? Are you going to listen to what God has put out in front of you? There are for sure very good lessons about marital relationships and relations in general in this Proverbs chapter 5, but those lessons are what teaches us what Solomon is trying to get at the root cause in our hearts and in our minds. That as we would be so disgusted to see people going outside of their marriage to find satisfaction, so should we be disgusted that our hearts look for satisfaction in other places than the path of wisdom that leads to life. It is because we understand the damaging side effects of a relationship being taken outside of the context of a marriage relationship and trying to get everything for your own self, that we can then comprehend what it is Solomon is telling us is your heart loves wickedness, your heart loves affairs, and it will only ever lead to destruction. Instead, you need to long and be satisfied with the path of wisdom that leads straight to life. Then we also have this section in chapter 6 that talks about financial entanglements, promises that you have made in relationship to your money. And again, there are lessons here about debt, about making promises to pay something you cannot pay. And that is definitely taught in the entire scriptures. But what Solomon is trying to say here is, like you guys understand, you do not start selling yourself to get the things that you want is also how you should understand your entire life. You choose to go down the path of wickedness and follow after these lies. What happens? You've sold yourself to this path that leads straight to death. And you don't. And Solomon's talking to his sons, who are princes, some of whom are going to become king. And he's saying, a king would never do that. A king's never going to get into debt to somebody in town just to get something that he wants and not understand the consequences of not following through on those. But you will be tempted to do that in your life, to flee the path of wisdom for the pleasures of the path of foolishness. Treat every decision that you come across like it is a choice between being faithful to who you're married to or being set free from financial entanglements and debt that you have. And then he goes and says, go to the ant, you slacker. If you're lazy, go to this little tiny insect who understands how to prepare for winter. And again, for sure, this passage is about not being lazy. What Solomon is saying here is, if you become lazy, if you don't think about it, you will always find yourself on the path of foolishness that leads to death. And you need to work hard to stay on the path of wisdom, because the path of laziness is on the path of wickedness and it leads to death. And laziness leads to poverty. It leads to you lacking that which you want. But the path of wisdom is not like that. The path of wisdom might be hard and difficult. It might require hard work. It might require not getting everything you want so that you can remain loyal to this path and to this personality of wisdom. But it is a path worth pursuing. I think I've given you enough examples that I don't have to go through the rest of Proverbs 6 to understand that, yes, Solomon is for sure saying, like, these things are bad and these things are good, but he's using them to all help paint the picture. You've got two people calling for your affections. You have that of Lady Wisdom and that of Lady Folly or Foolishness. So, in chapter 7, this is where I had accidentally jumped ahead. This is where Solomon uses this story, kind of like a parable, to drive his point home. Chapter 7 and 8 and 9, to paint this picture even further and a little bit more clearly than just saying, like, hey, don't get into debt. Don't be unfaithful in your relationships. Verse 6, Solomon says, at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. I saw among the inexperienced, and I noticed among the youth a young man lacking sense. And he's saying, okay, so I look out, I see a young man, obviously young men don't have a lot of sense. He's saying specifically he doesn't have a discerning spirit, and he's going to be faced with a choice. Saw a young man lacking sense, crossing the street near her corner. And who's this her? Up in verses 1 through 5, he talks about a forbidden woman. But this forbidden woman isn't just any old forbidden woman, as we see the picture being painted in the following verses. He crosses near her corner, strolling down the road at her to her house at twilight in the evening, in the dark of the night. So it's evening, the sun has gone down, he's walking past this forbidden woman's house, and a woman came to meet him dressed like a prostitute and having a hidden agenda, or just not being forthright with what her intentions were. She is loud, defiant, her feet do not stay at home. Now in the streets, now in the squares, she lurks at every corner. And what happens? Solomon's looking out his window. Again, this is a parable. He sees a young man walking past a place where, you know, there are women who are not the man's wife. And out comes this woman, and she grabs him and kisses him. So, just like in the movies, right? Some out of nowhere, some lady comes out and kisses this young man. Brazenly says to him, I have made fellowship offerings. Today I fulfilled my vows. And there's some dispute about what that is, but what she's saying is, I've been faithful to fulfilling my vows. And so I came out to meet you, to search for you, and I found you. She then says that, like, back at home, I've been covering everything with linen from Egypt, perfumes, all of these things. So come on home and stay with me until morning, and let's enjoy ourselves. My husband isn't home. He went on a long journey, and he took a bag of money with him. I will come home at the time of the full moon. So out comes Lady Folly and says to this young man, hey, I love you. I've been looking for you. Like, you have finally fulfilled every desire I've had. So I came looking for you. So come home with me. Let's have some fun. And you don't need to worry about anything because, and the awkward thing is she straight up says, I'm married, but my husband's not home. But you don't need to worry about it because he's gone. And I have all of these things at our house for us to enjoy. And she just seduces him in verse 21 with her persistent pleading. She lures with her flattering talk. And he follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bound in a trap. Until an arrow pierces its liver and a bird darting into a snare, he doesn't know it will cost him his life. This is exactly how temptation works. This is exactly how foolishness gets you off the path of wisdom. It makes you promises that it cannot complete. It makes you convinced that it has your best interest at heart and that it's going to be enjoyable and it's going to last. I think we can all understand with the words being said here, the promises being made, that it's no surprise that this young man who has no wisdom decides to follow after Lady Foolishness. But awkwardly, Solomon paints this picture. The lady says that she's got richly colored linen from Egypt, and she has perfumed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Those are all also pictures of death. They're all used in burying of people in that time. There are also references of great wealth and enjoyment, but when you died, you got wrapped up in linen and you got myrrh and things put on you so your body didn't stink. And this is not seeming like this lady, this is the first person she's ever seduced this way. She knows what she is doing. And Solomon says he follows her just like we take animals to the butcher, just like we trap animals in the wild. This guy has no idea that it's going to cost him his life. And so then he closes this parable and says, listen to what I'm telling you. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray onto her path. She has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. But the promises being made sure seem like it's going to produce something good and long-lasting. Then chapter 8, Solomon says, but doesn't wisdom call out? Here he personifies wisdom. Doesn't she make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the road, the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates at the entry to the city. At the main entrance, she cries out, people, I call out to you. My cry is to mankind, learn to be shrewd. You who are inexperienced, develop common sense. You who are foolish, listen, for I speak of noble things, and what my lips say is right. See, in the parable, Lady Foolishness does come out and does make her words known. And in chapter 8, Wisdom shows up and does the same thing. But she's not lurking, waiting for someone to discover. She's out there pleading that someone would just listen to her. Because what she's trying to tell them are good and faithful things. My mouth tells the truth. Accept my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge more than gold. Wisdom is better, I promise you. You can read through this to see wisdom's plea with the people that are walking past her. She's crying out, will someone please just take a second and listen? And it sure seems like the answer is no. Nobody's listening. Walking on by. Verse 22, she begins to give her credentials and says, the Lord made me, which, you know, is a hard word for us to understand, but it means possessed or have or gotten or something. But what wisdom says is the Lord had me at the beginning of his creation, before his works long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning, before the earth began. I was born when there were no watery depths and no springs filled with water. I was delivered before the mountains and hills were established, before he made the land or the fields or the first soil on the earth. I was there when he established the heavens, when he laid out the ocean floors, when he placed the skies above, and when he set a limit for the sea. I was there. I was a skilled craftsman beside him. I was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. I was rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the human race. And now, my sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy or blessed. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is blessed, watching at my doors every day, waiting by the posts of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. You have Lady Wisdom crying out and saying, I was with God when he made the world. I was around before you were even made. Before the world was made in such a way that you could actually live in it, I was with God and I rejoiced with him and he with me. And we set out this world together. And you don't want to listen. By wisdom, God created the world. And here, Lady Wisdom has no one listening to her. She knows what is right because she was there when God made the world perfectly. She knows the path that leads to life with God because she has been with God since the beginning of the world. But instead, mankind has chosen to listen to Lady Foolishness, to be deceived by the lies, the fake promises that she has, by the momentary enjoyment and pleasures that come from living a life where you determine what is right and wrong. But it leads to death. Lady Wisdom calls out and says, won't somebody love life? Won't you love life and choose the path of wisdom? Or are we going to keep doing the things that feel good, seem good, might be good? Right now, I don't know I can do anything else, but I'm just going to, by laziness, default to this path, and it will lead you to death. You can see the pain in Solomon as he writes this. to his sons, having seen Israel going down this path of loving death and hating wisdom, that he knows that this is nearly a hopeless cause. Notice that he doesn't ever say, and so someone listened. And so someone followed the path of wisdom. He leaves wisdom in the street, in the square, calling out for someone to listen, because I am promising you life with God. And yet, no one has been listening to her. And this is the hardest part of the whole beginning part of Proverbs, is Solomon crying that his sons would be one of the few people who would listen to wisdom. The good news, though, is knowing what we know now, someone has finally chosen to take the path of wisdom that leads to life. In fact, the personification of wisdom, if you reread chapter 8, you will find it hard to pretend like it's not talking about Jesus. Jesus was with God when he made the world, in a perfect relationship with God, saw the plan being put out. He, by him, all things were established. He was put in charge of this world. By wisdom, God created the world with Jesus in mind, and he delighted with humanity. And then humanity chose to leave the garden, the path to life, like life used to be in the garden. Humanity left it. And what did Jesus do? He decided that in order for the path of wisdom to lead to life, that he must go to the world to provide the path. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody makes it to God but by me. Not only is he saying that for sure is the truth, because he is going to die for our sins, pay the penalty that we owe, but he is now enabling those who believe in him to follow the way, the truth, and the path of wisdom to life with God. Until Jesus came to the world, no one on their own chose to listen to wisdom's path. By grace, God allowed for the people of Israel who followed the law, who understood who he was, to atone for their sins in a temporary sacrificial system and choose to live life that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he perfectly stayed on the straight path of wisdom that leads to God. And then he calls, like wisdom, anyone who follows me will obtain life everlasting. And notice that Jesus said that narrow is the path that leads to life, but wide and straight and smooth is the highway that leads to destruction. So although we must come to grips with the sense of near hopelessness that Solomon is writing this book of wisdom, understanding that no one is probably going to listen to it completely, that in it are the words that keep you on the path that leads to God. And now, because of what Jesus did by walking and clearing that path for us and giving us his spirit, we now can choose to walk this path of wisdom that leads to life everlasting with God. The path of wisdom is the path and the life that we will one day live when God has made all things right. And we are called to follow Jesus down this path of wisdom to a relationship with God. But down this path, you're going to constantly be yelled at by foolishness, by sin. But it won't sound like foolishness, and it won't sound like sin. It'll sound like, hey, I love you. I want what's best for you, and I want to have some fun. Let's go over here. And forget about this whole thing that you're doing here. Like, wisdom offers you a feast. I've got food. Wisdom offers you a warm bed to sleep in, so do I, only I have more fun over in this one. The path of foolishness, Lady Folly, and temptation will always try to one-up the promises that are being made from wisdom, and instead will kill you while you sleep, while you go to work, while you try and keep your family together. If you listen to foolishness instead of wisdom, it leads to destruction. And if you live your entire life and never listen to the wisdom that Jesus calls and says, follow me and I will take you on the path to heaven, you might live for a very long time in this miserable existence that we have. You might be super rich and people might really like you. You might be able to have the most influence in this world of anyone else that you know. But at the end, it doesn't lead to life. This book of Proverbs sets out a perspective on wisdom literature that both Job and Ecclesiastes kind of set a balance for. Proverbs always promises a good thing for following after wisdom. But we also have to understand that even Solomon knew that just because you are doing what is right doesn't mean your life is going to be peachy. Sometimes things are going to go bad and you're not going to understand it. But that doesn't mean you abandon the path. Just like Job, who by no fault of his own had everything taken from him. And everyone was saying, like, well, you definitely did something wrong. Get off the path because you should have been getting good stuff. And then someone's like, well, if you're going to only get bad stuff, you might as well curse God and leave the path of wisdom and go the full way. Ecclesiastes said, like, life is frustrating and impossible to figure out. And yet that doesn't mean you forsake the known path that leads straight to God. It's hard. Some of this stuff, even in Proverbs 10, we kind of chuckle because we're like, yeah, it would be good if I would keep my mouth shut every once in a while. But Proverbs gives us the wisdom to stay on the path that leads to life. A good life. One that's not focused on merely our existence here, but on the end goal of where we will be with God. And so, as you go this week, be listening, be discerning, have some sense, as Solomon would say, in figuring out which of these two ladies, or if you need to change the gender for you, for women, two men, or two people, whoever, are calling out to you, promising you a life of love and affection. Be discerning as you go through which one leads to God's life, which one leads to death. Which one sends me straight on the path of wisdom so that I can live my life the way God designed it to be lived? And which one leads me down a path that I would like but will kill me in the end? The words you choose to say to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family members, your coworkers, the choices that you make with the money that you have, with the relationships that you are working on, all have the opportunity to lead you to life or death. Wisdom leads to life. Foolishness leads to death. And with Solomon, I plead with you, please listen to wisdom. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a God who is all wise. And by wisdom, you made this world, and even in your wisdom, you knew that this world would be messed up, and yet in your wisdom, you made a way to fix the world that you have in your wise plan, your son leading his followers down the path of wisdom to you. And we thank you that your wisdom includes giving us your spirit to say yes to wisdom. We pray that this week, even today, in the next hour, next 10 minutes, that we would learn to discern the call of wisdom, the call of your spirit to follow the path of life. That although its results might not be imminent or readily visible, that we would have the faith to follow this path. We pray that you would give us the strength to resist temptation, to resist being called away from the path, and also the humility to admit when we have come off the path, and the desire to come back to the path of wisdom. And we thank you for providing a way for this nearly hopeless call that Solomon had for people to listen to you by sending Jesus to do that, to show us how and to enable us to bring about a new covenant where we can have hearts that say yes to you. We ask that we would be wise, understanding, have the knowledge to do what is right, and the strength to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.